you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. God, we just thank you for tonight, and Lord, we just thank you for your word, and I pray that as I share this word, we would be encouraged, and Lord, to go about what you called us to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, for the last couple of times I've spoken, I've gone from the basis of Jesus is, but as he is, so are we in this world. And the first time I spoke about Jesus being selfless, and the second time I spoke about Jesus being the Son of God, as in we are the sons of God, and those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit. And tonight we're going to go further down the track on a similar line, but Jesus is the light of the world. And so John 8:12 goes something like this. If you want to follow on your phones, or you might have an actual Bible there, or you can follow on the screen. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What is the purpose of light? So I went around and I interviewed Nick Devensenis about what the light of the world is. So it's not an exhaustive list, but the purpose of light. So what is the purpose of light? And so we had a chat there on Thursday or Friday, I think it was, and so some of these Nick gave me, which was really good. So the purpose of light is a guide. It's for visibility. It's to change perspective. The purpose of light is to expose danger. It's to cast out darkness. It helps things grow. It casts out fear. And it exposes evil. So a couple of weeks ago, I decided to go for a bit of a crawl under my house, because I'd later last year, it started to get very damp under my house, which isn't a good thing. And so I went under earlier this year, and it was still damp. And I was really concerned, because our pool isn't that far from our house. I was really concerned because late last year we lost a bit of water out of our pool, and I thought we're in big trouble if we've got a leak under our house. And so I went under the house, but this time I took a light with me so I could actually see where the issue was and what the problem was. And it wasn't long, I got about halfway across our house, and look, it's not really tight, but probably about that deep. And I got halfway across, and I looked over, and everything was dry on one side and wet on the other. And there was a pipe running from our kitchen sink right away, like a 100mm PVC pipe, all the way under our house across to the other side where the actual drain was. And in the middle there was a join in the pipe. And for some reason, it must be some sort of expansion join. I'm not a plumber, but I think that's what it is. And so one of the expansion parts has come out, and there's a slow leak under our house. And the reason I say that is just because without the torch, without the light, I wouldn't have seen the problem. And now I've seen the problem, we know how to deal with the issue at hand. And so there are many different types of lights, and I've got some up on the stage. Do you control them back there? I've got to turn them on, have I? All right, gee, I don't even know how to turn them on. So there's many different types of lights, and we can see some up here. This is a desk, obviously a desk light, really lovely desk light. That's a kind of a desk light. This is probably a desk light too. And I don't even know how light this one is. Where do I turn this one on, guys?
On the switch.
Wow, I've got to go back here. Excuse me. Find the switch. That switch. Oh, right. There we go. So that's a work light. It's not too bad. But there are other lights. There's many different types of lights. There's flood lights, there's down lights, there's concert lights, there's bed lamps, there's torches, there's street lights, there's fairy lights, and there's fluoro lights, there's Christmas lights, which we know we do here with Christmas lights. There's work lights, there's head torches, there's headlamps, and there's many, many other lights. Don't sit there and go, well, you forgot this one and you forgot that one and you forgot that one. Don't sit there and say that, because I'm not going through all the lights that there are. But there's many different types of lights. And there's these sort of lights. There's lights of encouragement. There's lights of compassion. There's lights of inviting. There's lights of helping in need, of appreciation, of living a good example. There's random acts of kindness. There's praying for the sick. There's godly living. There's commitment. There's honouring. There's lights, the light of a generous person. There's the light of being a person of your word. There's the light of sharing the gospel. There's the light of being courteous, kind, having a listening ear. And there's the lights without sirens, the non-judgmental lights. So when we see that list of lights, we can understand that we all are meant to carry a light with us. If we go to Matthew 5, 14 to 16, it says, you are the light of the world. Remember, Jesus said he is the light of the world. As he is, so are we in this world. But he now says, you are the light of the world, of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And if we have a look at the message version, I think I'll read the whole thing. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be a light, bringing out the God colours in the world. And I underline this, God is not a secret to be kept. God is not a secret to be kept. If you're a Christian here, it's not your job to keep secret what God has done in your life. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So why do we need to shine our light before men? Simply because when we shine the light of God, it highlights the need for God. So many these days, so many people these days, and you hear it, you don't have to go far down the street. You can just go down to Chirnside Park Shopping Centre, and they would say, I have no need for God. I do not need God. Now, you can argue with them if you like. Tell them they do need God. Is that shining a light? Maybe it is. I'm not sure. But many have been deceived by the angel of light. And when we see the way people live these days, they have been deceived. And, you know, there are issues out there that are endless, and they're getting more and more and more. And we know we're coming further to the end times. It's not an end times message. It's a we need to be light message. See, the world's answer to issues, for the most part, creates more issues. So what would be an example to that? Well, let's say in relationships, the world's answer to issues would say, let's put it this way, try before you buy. Don't marry someone until you've checked out quite a few different people until you find the right one. There's more issues that happen with that. And it leads to promiscuity, and it leads to things like, you know, well, I still need to find the perfect partner, so I'll get married once and then haven't found the perfect partner, so I'll find someone else who's more perfect. And then it goes on. And so the more issues that come is there's a broken family now, and then there's kids that are separated and broken. And then there's more issues to deal with. So the world's answer, so the deceived by the angel of light thing leads to more issues. It doesn't answer the issues. Like, you know, how about, here's a novel idea, how about with a bit of truth, let's be pure. That's God's answer, be pure. Oh, that's too harsh, that's old school. But I tell you what, it's got a better chance of living, having a life that leads to generational blessing than a mess with families all over the place. So what are we dealing with here? What we're dealing with here is spiritual blindness. When we see the deception that takes place from the angel of light, we then have spiritual blindness. If we go to 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 to 6, and I've got the Amplified version, and 4 and 6, I haven't gone 4 to 6. Let's read this together. This is a really powerful scripture. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds, that they should not discern the truth, so they find their own way, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God. And verse 6 says, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God, as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And if we go to verse 4 in the Message version, it says, they think he can give them what they want. What a true statement. They think he can give them what they want, the angel of light, that is, what they want, and that they won't have to bother believing a truth that they can't see. It's spiritual blindness. They're stone blind to the day spring brightness of the message that shines with Christ, who gives us the best picture of God we will ever get. The answer to spiritual blindness is Christ. He is the light that shines in the darkness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. He died on a cross 2,000 years ago and was raised again, and he sent the Holy Spirit to empower you to be the light of the world. You are the light of the world. If you bring people Christ, it will illuminate their need for God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let your light shine in the darkness. Just want to, I told a bit of a story this morning about a phone call that I made earlier in the week. And I'm not going to use names here, but it was a guy that I worked with for 15 years, and he was a Christian guy, and he worked 2 or 3 days a week at the timber business that I worked in, down in Hastings. So if you really want to know, you can look it up and find out where it is, if you really want to know. And so I don't think I'd been working there long, or I'd only just become a Christian, and I began to work there. And I went through a time of fluctuating in my walk with God, and did some things that were good and did some things that were not so good. But I had a good boss. He was a really good fella, and he really looked after us at work, and it was a really good place to work. But the other guy that I work with, who I called out of the blue this week, he was a pastor at a church, and he did a couple of days at a church and then worked with us. Anyway, we were just in conversation, and he partway through the conversation, and like I say, I won't use the names, but he said to me, "Did you hear that our old boss died last year?" And I just went silent on the phone, because I'd been back to the business last year to say hello to some of the guys, and it was really interesting that the son that took over the business had had a big blue with his dad, and it must have been within a month, I reckon, of his passing from the timeline I was there. And I just went silent on the phone, and I said, "Really?" I said, I actually wanted to catch up with him and go and have a chat with him just about life, because I was so appreciative of the start that he'd given me. But whether I had the courage to, you know, I could have asked him about where he was at with God. And I look back at the time that I worked there, and I've reflected this week and thought, did I shine the light bright enough for him to see the difference? I don't know where he is now. I don't know whether he's in eternity or not. I just don't know. But I ask myself the question, did I shine the light? And it really had me thinking, and it wasn't the reason I did this message, but, you know, when I made the phone call, I thought, I've just got to talk about this. Because it's just so important that we take every opportunity to shine the light of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I'm unaware of where things are at, like I said. But I know there's been times where I haven't taken the opportunity. And, you know, we've probably all made mistakes like that. So this isn't a guilt trip thing. But we must walk with the light and in the light of Christ, and bring Christ into every situation, because you never know where someone's at. So I just wanted to have a really quick look at a moment in time in the book of John, just after Jesus had said that he was the light of the world. But in John 9, 1-6, and if we could just quickly have a read of it. And I just got three quick things out of this. And you know, when we consider the scripture that I talked about, spiritual blindness, let's read this, 9:1-6 in the NIV. "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' Jesus said, 'but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. 'Go,' he told him, 'wash in the pool of Siloam.' This word means 'sent.' So the man went and washed and came home seeing." Now, this story is a story about physical blindness, but I believe it's got some very strong spiritual connotations in how we deal with situations and the people that we work with that don't know God, as we bring the light into different situations. And so I've got three quick things that I wanted to just bring that I personally got out of this. And the first point I've got, you can put the three points, so we'll just do the first one. It is shine your light whether it's deserved or not. And if we see in the scripture, if we can just flick back up to the last scripture, Dave, that'd be awesome. It said that his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus said, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." See, the Pharisees used to want to get a reason why people were the way they were, and seeing them in the place that they're at, and they always wanted to get a reason. And so I just asked the question tonight, have you ever seen someone with spiritual blindness and put the judgment hat on and said they're like that because that happened, or they're like that because they did this? And maybe they did, but maybe they didn't. You know, you shine your light whether it's deserved or not. It's not an opportunity to say to someone, "I told you so." You've got the outworking, and "I told you it was that." You shine your light so the works of God might be displayed. We're called to be light, not right. There are people out there who don't want to come down the doors of church because they think they're going to be judged. Our job is to be light, and not judge where people are. We don't know the circumstances people have been through. But we could be the very bridge that God uses to bring them back into the light themselves, or bring them into the light the first time. So just remember that. It doesn't matter how someone's got to the place they're at. You wouldn't go into a house where the power's gone out and someone says, "I need a light." And you wouldn't say, well, did you blow a fuse? Well, and they said, "Yeah, we blew a fuse." "Well, sorry, I'm not going to give you a light because you blew a fuse." You're going to bring them light. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to bring light regardless of how people got there. The second thing that I want to bring to your attention is Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Shine your light because it's urgent. People need it. Doesn't matter the reasons, they just need it. In every situation we walk, they need it. I know I've worked at different places, outside of working here at church. And people need the light. They need the light because there's brokenness and there's pain. And the only real answer, the only answer, you get some patch-up jobs, but the only answer is Christ. And the way we live and the way we love people is bringing that light. It's urgent. People need it. The third thing that I want to bring out of this is, in verse 6, it says, after saying this, he spit on the ground and he made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." And so at the end, he went home seeing. Shine your light even when it does not make sense. The wisdom of God is not the wisdom of man. And I can imagine that when Jesus spat and rub the mud together, people would have been thinking, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Things of God are not wise in man's eyes." And if we see, even at the time when Jesus came, no one expected him to come like he came. They wanted him riding on a white horse with a sword to kill all the bad people. But he actually came as a baby in a manger and came to save the world. And so when you do things with God, even if it seems a bit crazy, even if you think they'll think you're mad, if he gives you a word or he says, go and pray for someone, you just never know what that might do. Even if it seems crazy. No one else would have done that and rubbed the earth with the spit. But that made the difference in this man's life. So even if it seems a bit, you know, out there spiritual and God's calling you to do it, you just never know what people want. But you know what? We're all lights of different shapes and different sizes, and we're all in different positions. But every single one of us is called to be light. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge for me personally, and I can't tell you the number of times at Bunnings, and I've shared this before, where I wish I'd shone a bit brighter, because people need the light of the glorious gospel. And Jesus is with us, but if we don't bring him out, if we don't shine him, then people aren't going to know what they're looking for. They're not going to know their need for God. And it's not to say, I told you so. It's to say, God loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you're at, he loves you. And so I know here tonight, and I just want to finish with this. I know here tonight that there's people and you haven't shone the light. And as I'm speaking, you're going, I wish I had, or I wish I would. And I wrote down three quick things why people don't shine a light. Okay? Why they don't shine a light. And they're quite practical things, because that's the way I work and I need that. But the reason lights aren't on when the light is needed is, firstly, the lights aren't on because there's no power. It's pretty straightforward. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be able to walk in light as Jesus empowers you to do so. There's got to be power. The second thing that I wrote was that the lights aren't turned on. For two reasons, the lights aren't turned on. Number one, they're not turned on because, like, you know, in a dark place sometimes you don't want to turn a light on or illuminate something because you don't want to be seen. So you don't turn the light on. And the scripture that I read was one that Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You don't need to be ashamed of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. If you're sitting there tonight and you're going, yep, at times I'm ashamed, or I'm afraid to turn my light on, then it's time to turn your light on. And the last two things I had, but this was a part A, part B, they aren't turned on. And the second one was, they're not turned on because you want to sit in the dark. You don't want to turn your light on. It's actually because you just want to live a life. You want the name tag of Christ, but you actually want to live a life of darkness outside of coming to church. People aren't going to see that. That's not going to be the difference maker. They're just going to be deceived. And lastly, I wrote, when a light's not on, often it's because the globe is broken. You know, there's brokenness in all our Christian walks from time to time. And God can put a new globe in straight away. We've just got to admit the brokenness and lean into God and allow him to sort that out so we can shine brighter. If I can get everyone to stand. I didn't want this to be a long message tonight, but I wanted it to be a challenge. And you know what? God can do anything in the way that he does things. But each and every one of us here will rub shoulders with people who need the light. And like I said, it's not about being right, and it's not about saying, I told you so. And there are many different ways that we can shine the light of Christ into people's lives. Sometimes we're just so set on doing what we want to do and getting our goals achieved that we're not aware of what God's trying to show us. And so tonight is another thing that if you, regardless of whether they're the reasons that I said that there's no power or whatever it is, if you are there and you're saying, I have not taken opportunities to shine the light, then it's never too late. We can deal with this tonight. And moving forward, you can ask God to show you the opportunities that you can have each day as you walk around and shine the light, because that's what people need. And I just want to pray, and I actually want to ask, I think it needs a response without people coming up. But if you can see that you've missed opportunities, and I know we all have, but if it's spoken to you tonight, I just want you to raise your hand. If you want God's help in this, I know I need it. Awesome. Let's shine God's light. Father, I just pray for each and every person in here. You have called us to be light in the darkness, not on our own strength, but empowered by you. And so, Father, for where we've missed the boat, when we haven't been light, I know that you know and you're aware of, you know, the weaknesses and the reasons why. But, Father, this day forward, I pray that you would challenge us all to be light in the darkness. As we walk out these doors, we don't want to be shouting from the rooftops, come in, come in. We actually want to go out as Jesus did, and we want to rub shoulders with people, and we want to be light so that they know their need for you. And so, Father, I pray that you would empower, you would strengthen those who are afraid or ashamed in their different situations. And, Father, as you are light in the world and change the world, we are your disciples to go and see our situations changed. And so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, by your power and your might and your spirit, that you would just touch the lives of people tonight in a powerful way. And we would walk out into the streets, into the workplaces, into the schools. And, Father, we would see people touched by your light. And Father, whether they go to this church or another church, it doesn't matter. But, Lord, they are changed by you. And so, Lord, as we give them Christ, we just give you thanks for what you're going to do in us so that we can see this world changed. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.